They are absolutely sick in the head. It is the news, according to me. Good Tuesday morning. It is September 17th, 8:57 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2024. I am your host. You are the faithful listener. And these people are nuts. I tell you, these people are nuts. I have one cup this morning, only one, because I have not made my sweet tea yet. But I have my regular cup of chai. That's good stuff. I have I don't know if any of you have been following what's been going on with this whole second. I'm just finding out, actually, that there have been four actual threats, like serious threats. Two of them, of course, were the one where he got shot, the other one where they tried to shoot him, where this most recent one where, I guess there were two others we haven't heard about. It hasn't made the news, where there were actual death threats or some kind of a threatening situation. I haven't heard any details on those, but apparently it was issues where there were Secret Service had to go kinetic on some things, I guess. Not ballistically, but it actually had to be triggered into action because of some threats. Now, having said all that, I'd like to have some recordings of some of these things. I'd like to play them for you, because it's just when you, I was talking about how unhinged these people are on the left, how ridiculous they are. I was listening to Piers Morgan yesterday. One thing, I don't like Piers Morgan that much. I except for this one thing. I don't like his politics, basically, and his understanding of American politics, and his, probably mostly because he's so anti-gun at this point. He doesn't understand that. And, oh, I could go down this whole big long rabbit hole thing. I've been trying to put together some things, and I might have some like more teaching moments if the news cycle ever settles down, where I put together, I'll just connect all these dots and show you how all this stuff works in terms of what is considered conspiracy theory. It's not so much theory as it is just conspiracy in a lot of these, a lot of things. Everything from the food industry, big pharma, education, the market, big tech, money system, all this stuff that plays together. And just how all that stuff, you know, how the left uses all these different things. I should say the left is being used, because I'm solid on the theory that there is a conspiracy going on, but it's the who's behind it, really behind it, is the evidence of things unseen. And there's a spiritual battle going on. And that's where the dot has to end. That's where the connection of all the dots ends. However, this is what I'm getting at here is the thing that's really driving me nuts with this whole thing is the left's response, the media and the pundits on the left, these radical leftists. This is actually kind of dividing the left a little bit in some ways. Now, John Bolton was on Piers Morgan's show yesterday, and that was interesting. Bolton hates Trump. Now, Trump appointed him to be something, I don't know what he was, some kind of ambassador. And, of course, Bolton came out and was running. I think he actually came out and was running for president at one point, announced he was going to run for president, as did Mike Pompeo. Now, Pompeo, I have heard he's going to be back in this administration. I don't know why, unless it's one of those deals where you keep your, you know, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. I don't know if that's what it is or not, but it's, I do, now supposedly Pompeo is, which would be exactly what the CIA would do. Now he was director of the CIA. He's been involved in three letter organizations for a long time. Alphabet soup organizations, they call them. He's been involved in those for a very long time. Now consider the fact that this guy, he's got a lot of inroads with a lot of, he's very well accepted by some very well known religious leaders in this country, especially evangelicals and many of the popular ones who are, it's without naming any names, the more outspoken ones, the more, you know, hip, modern, contemporary religious leaders, which causes me to question a lot of things. I'm very skeptical. He says all the right things, and this is where it gets really sticky with me. He has all the right answers to the questions, every single one of them. Not a thing that he claims he believes that I would disagree with. That's a problem. Well, for the most part. Because everything else, and his politically, his foreign policy, his belief that the government, you know, in terms of government control, all these other things, I'm totally opposed to. And the people I've heard that I know, even, that I've have personal interaction with, who have been in touch with him and talked to him and all this stuff, I'm sorry, but they like the fact that they have this buddy-buddy relationship going on with someone who's so connected. They feel important. They feel their ego gets stroked. It's so obvious what's going on there. Somebody strokes your ego. I bristle at that. I guess I've always been a. I got sucked into it a lot when I was a kid. I wasn't one of the popular kids in school. I always kind of considered myself a misfit. And me and the other misfits would kind of run around together. And the popular in crowd, the it guys, or the it crowd, didn't like us very much because we didn't really care about them. We didn't give them the attention, pay them the homage that they thought they deserved. I guess I don't know what it was, but we just weren't there. We just did our thing and we just kind of ignored them. And they hated us for that. In fact, one night I was driving home. Now, my girlfriend, it was our senior year in high school. My girlfriend, who was a year behind me, She was a year younger than me. I think she was 2 years behind me. I actually graduated when I was 17. I started my senior year when I was 16. I was just a kid. I was the runt. I was considered the runt of the group. I was a little kid. Surprisingly enough, though, I was the one who was in wrestling, and I was you know, doing martial arts and all kinds of other stuff, and most of them didn't know that. So I was going home one time because my girlfriend lived right next door to someone that was in my, let's see, it was in the in crowd. And so one night we went out. We were in a teepee in my girlfriend's house. So there's probably three or four. I guess there's four or five of us, I guess. And we were driving out to teepee the house. And of course they took it as we were going to do something to them. And it was just, this whole thing was all going on. And it was a Saturday night or whatever it was. This stuff was going on. And so there was this interaction between, you know, some of their friends and some of our, you know, we couldn't care less what they were doing. We didn't really care. And we were getting ready to do this teepee thing. So we went out there to do that. Of course, her dad had all this stuff set up, and he had lights set up in the trees and all this stuff set up so he could turn lights on whenever anybody was out there. So we went out to teepee him, and of course, he turned all the lights on, and we ran away. It was all part of the game. And so we all ran off. Well, we went to the car wash, did some stuff, and you know, it's this whole thing. This guy's dad got involved. This in-crowd guy's dad got involved. Confronted us at one point at the car wash. It was just a really, really bizarre evening. So we all go back to this my one buddy's house, and we're there for a while. It was probably midnight. And finally, I left. I was going to go home. I lived about 15 miles away. Got in my little Blazer. Had a convertible. Soft top Blazer. Now this was the 71 Blazer. I owned a 72 as well, but the first car I ever owned was a 71 Blazer, Chevy Blazer. This wasn't the little version. This was the actual full size truck type version of the Blazer, Chevy Blazer. Bought it from my brother. I'm driving it and heading home on a country road. Next thing I know, there's a pickup truck behind me. In fact, I drove past it, noticed that it was a particular individual's pickup truck that I'd seen earlier that evening. And there was a bunch of guys in it. They pulled out behind me, followed me out of town. Got out into the country. They tried to run me off the road. They finally got out to a highway, and I wouldn't let them. They kept turning their brights on, trying to get me to stop. I wasn't going to stop by myself. I knew they had baseball bats in the truck because they were out playing with those earlier in the day, in the evening. I wasn't stopping. There's no way. I was the one that they hated. I was the one they always picked on. They always said they didn't have a problem with any of us except for that one guy. They would name my name. Why, I don't know. The only excuse I was ever given was because one night I was talking to this one in guy's boyfriend, or I'm sorry, girlfriend. Well, he ended up marrying her, but it was, I was talking to her. We talked because we rode the same bus together all growing up. We rode the same bus. We were friends. And so I happened to be talking to her one night. I don't know if she said something to him about it. He wasn't around. We weren't flirting. I wasn't doing it. I just chatting with her. I just said something to her. And apparently he was threatened by that. And from that moment on, he just decided I was the guy who was the easiest one to pick on in our group. So their whole group hated us, hated me, hated all of us, but hated me especially. I don't know what it was. Never have confronted him about it since. We had a conversation since then. He's kind of grown up, but you could tell he didn't want to talk to me. So we ended up, I ended up getting out on this highway, and they ended up going around me. Now, I had a CB in my truck. This is before cell phones, folks. Nobody had a phone in their car. These guys went to pass me. I ended up going off the road. I knew where there was a path that went off the road on this one highway, US 6. Drove out on that little path, and they didn't follow me. And then I got around them, and they didn't follow me any further. I wasn't sure what I was going to do. I wasn't going to go to my house because I didn't want them to know where I lived. Nobody knew where I lived at that time. I was thinking about going to my friend's house because he would come out. the two of us would train together. not formally martial arts, but man, we would kind of work out together and kind of knew what we were doing, I guess, basically. But I knew if I showed up at his house, he would come out with all kinds of defensive tactics. Let's just put it that way. He was a tough kid. So I was thinking about going to his house, just pulling in and saying, hey, can't come out here. So my dog is snoring under he's sleeping now under me. I guess he's dug his tunnel. And I finally decided now he's snoring. I can't hear it. I don't think you can hear it. Anyway, they ended up not chasing me anymore. I went home. I didn't say anything. I told my friends about it, and apparently somehow word got back to the principal of the high school, and they never called me in and asked me about it. I never really said anything about it. I wasn't going to snitch on them and tell them that's none of the school's business. What's going on there? Most of those guys, almost all of them, ended up getting carted off by the police at the end of the year. Were unable to attend graduation because they came in and did all this damage to the school. But they painted all over the place. But they painted someone else's name. They painted other rival schools' name all over the place and tried to make it look like it was some other school. Kids from another school came in to do it. Well, the detectives found out. They had dead fingerprints all over the place, and they figured out that it was these guys that did it. One of them finally cracked, and I guess the rest of them, they carted them off. They came in and took them off in handcuffs from school. Well, they formally apologized later, and it's been, you know, they did something. It's just kids doing stupid stuff. Thought they were going to be cool. So, I don't know where I was going with that story. How did I start in with that? How did I get there? I don't know. I have no idea. But in the meantime, and I think I was talking about this whole, I remember what it was. I was talking about this whole idea of being buddy-buddy with someone, being on the in crowd, being... having your ego stroked and having that be, that's a very manipulative thing, by the way. And I guess I have resisted manipulation and recognized manipulation for the most part. I'm sure that people can manipulate me. I'm sure I've been manipulated by all kinds, who knows what, marketing schemes, whatever it is, I'm sure I've been manipulated. But I also know that I have a tendency to have a keen sense of awareness when it comes to being manipulated. I don't like manipulating others, and I don't like being manipulated myself. Just flat. Both of those things. Don't like it. Maybe it's why I have learned so much. I've kind of applied that to the whole thing of speech recognition and being able to listen to someone's talk and whether or not they're just speaking from their heart, if they're just being themselves, talking from a sense of, you know, genuineness, or if they're being disingenuous and being fake and phony, lying, those kinds of things. If it's portrayal, if they're actually being themselves. I guess that's part of it. Don't fool me once, I can't get fooled again. So I ended up. I don't trust people like Pompeo. And I'm sure there's probably plenty of other people. What are you going to do? You got these people in politics that are all around Washington. You've got to have certain people in certain places. And it's just, after a while, you run out of people you can trust. You just have to put somebody in there and just hope that they can come around to, you know, to be honest with you. John Bolton actually, you know, obviously was not one of those people. the establishment, Republican establishment, is not to be trusted. In fact, I look at them as being more of a snake than some of the Democrats. I would trust Bobby Kennedy Jr. far beyond, way beyond Mike Pompeo or John Bolton. They do not have Trump's best interest in mind here. And if you'd have heard Bolton talk about it, you'd have thought he was a Democrat. Now, there were some Democrats who said, no, I still believe that, you know, Donald Trump is an existential threat to democracy. But I want to beat him at the ballot box. I don't want to beat him here. I don't want to see him get shot. I don't want to beat him. But you're still willing to say that he's an existential threat. When you use the word existential, that means, like, when you say existential threat to the planet, that means we're talking about extinction. It's an extinction event. In other words, our democracy will be gone, extinguished. Annihilated, completely gone. You have people like unhinged individuals like Robert De Niro. He will never leave. Never. He will never leave. Really? I mean, how much longer do you think he's going to live? These people are nuts. So my concern with them, and when they talk about stuff like this, this is the kind of thing that they talk about. This is when they start to project something onto the Republicans or onto someone they don't like, on their political enemies, it's because they're doing the very same thing. Now, so in their minds, they think it's possible to never leave office. This is what bothers me. In their minds, the end justifies the means. And that's not hyperbole. That's actually the moral code that these people work under. This is how they live. And when they've got themselves so convinced that this monster, this orange monster that's come after them, is a threat to their democracy, they're willing to do anything to keep that from happening. And they feel justified in it. They're on the moral high ground. They're the moral ones. They're going to save the country. There might only be, you know, there might only be 30%. This may be, he may win an election, you know, by a landslide, but we have to save the nation because he's fooled the whole country, and we're the only ones who are awake to this. That's what's going on in their heads. So what in the world is going on here? My understanding is this guy who set up this little sniper's nest. Now, there's a couple things that are even more disturbing now. Now, maybe this guy found out that Trump was in town, and he somehow knew that whenever Trump was in town, he would always golf at that golf course. I don't know. But apparently he was camped out there almost all day, waiting for Trump to show up. This guy was a felon. He wasn't supposed to have this gun that he had, which was actually wiped of any serial numbers. It was they called it a Kalashnikov initially. It was actually, my understanding is it was an SKS. Now, I've got an SKS. The SKS is the cheap version of an AK-47. It is not an AK-47, but it's a Kalashnikov design. Mine is back in the day, you could buy them for like $90. Me and a friend of mine bought a whole bunch of them, and this is back when you could do this kind of stuff. You could buy guns, and then you could sell them to your friends. And that's what we did. We bought a whole bunch of them. So, yeah, let's buy like 20 of these, and we just start selling people we know. I mean, we didn't even mark them up. We just basically passed them on. But it was a kind of a group purchase. So got them a little, like a $10 discount or whatever for doing it. I don't think you can buy one for less than $300 now. But still, it was at the time, it was, which is still cheap for a rifle. It's not too bad for that kind of. I mean, it's the kind of rifle you can just kind of beat the daylights out of, and it still keep on working. It fires 7.62 by 3.9, and it's which is a pretty heavy round. It's kind of comparable to a 308. It just doesn't have the same kind of ballistic qualities that a 308 does. But I digress. So this guy, that's what this guy had. It was apparently an SKS rifle. I don't know what caliber, I don't know anything else. And my understanding was he didn't get any shots off. He never got to the point where the president was in view, never had line of sight with him, with the president. Which is, it's fine, whatever. The fact that the Secret Service agent actually took shots at him and didn't get him is a little bit disturbing. I don't know how close the Secret Service agent was. I don't know whether he fully intended to take the guy out or not, or if it was more of a suppressive fire type thing. I don't know what his thinking was there, what he was doing. It all seems a little strange to me. Now, the left now, there are people on the left, and probably Joy Reid, probably some of these people, Behar, whoever knows, who knows who all these people are that are saying this kind of thing. But I'm hearing now that there's reports of people saying, and the pundits on the left are saying, well, the fact that he's had two attempts on his life and he hasn't been shot yet leads them to believe that he's just setting this stuff up. He's instigating this stuff because he's feeling like he's not getting his attention. He wants a sympathy vote. He wants a sympathy vote. So that's why he's doing this. That's how ridiculously insane these people are. That's what they would do. When they make statements like this and they project on someone this kind of action, this kind of thinking, it's because that's the way they think. He staged the whole thing. It's because you guys live in a world of political theater all the time. Oh, and when you think the mic is off, you start talking about how you really feel, and then you find you get caught on a hot mic sometimes, and then you realize, oh, yeah, I don't really actually agree with all this, but I'm going to ignore that. Joy Reid one time was going to the they cut away from her to talk about something about the president. And she behind the scenes was obviously mad at Joe Biden. How are you going to get us in any more effing wars? Oops, microphone was on. Whoopsie, whoopsie. And she didn't used to use the effing word. She used the real word. And she apologized. And then we went on. And nope, nobody talked about it anymore. Okay, we're done. Done with that. Very bizarre. That's how disingenuous these people are. But to hear them talk, you'd think, oh my goodness, these people are really all in with what they tell us about this whole thing. Oh, Joe Biden's the best president ever. He's the best version. He's cogent. Best whatever. They stand there on their little smug little high moral ground standards that they're on. Oh, we're the moral ones here. And it's just so sickening to me. And it's become worse, I think, in the last. And of course, I think I played the little clip of Megyn Kelly, what she said about, you know, how their heads are going to pop off. We're going to go right back to the same kind of rhetoric we had the first time in 2016. If he wins the election, I'm sure they're plotting and planning for it. And I don't know whether they're going to pull it off or not, or whether they'll actually go through with it. I think there's about a 30% chance or greater they will do one of two things. They're either going to postpone the elections, or some kind of black swan event will happen that will shut the nation down and we won't have elections. Or somehow under the cover of darkness at 3:00 in the morning, they will have to stop the counting for a little bit. We'll go back to counting in a little after a little while, after we cover up these windows, after we do all this stuff, after we get the water main, after we get these, oh, look, we got all these ballasts underneath this table. We better do those before we leave, even though the monitors have left. We need to keep the monitors over there in that corner behind the screen because of COVID, you know, COVID. Can't let them, you know, be breathing down anybody's necks over here and spreading COVID around. So you guys got to stay behind that little ribbon over there that we put over there in the way over there, about 30 feet away from where I'm counting these ballots. And then we're going to tell you guys, we're going to quit counting for the night. So you guys have to leave. Oh, we're going to stick around. We're going to close everything down here. And then we're going to pull these ballots out. And we're going to count another, you know, couple boxes full. Not boxes, they were tubs full of ballots. And all of a sudden, oh, look at there. What happened at 3 o'clock in the morning? All of a sudden, well, look at there. Well, they woke up in the next morning and all of a sudden, oh, Joe Biden won. Nothing to see here. Nothing unusual there. Oh, we're going to change the rules so that you can have all these mail-in ballots. We're going to change the census now in all these different places where you have this the census. We're going to take the census of all these people now so you can get more representatives and so you can get more ballots. All we need is a name. That's all we need is a name. We can mail out these ballots. Name and address. That's all we need. We can mail out all these ballots out there. Get all these ballots out there. We'll send 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 out. Six. We'll make sure that you get one because we want to send 7 or 8 of them. Just make sure you get one. That's what's happening here. That's what's going to happen. It's all being done. Of course, now the Postal Service has a union, by the way. The Postal Service is unionized, which should never have happened. I don't think government workers should be unionized, personally. Why do they need a union to fight against the government, fight against the people? I understand unions being used to fight against big corporations and keep corporations in check. I get that. I don't like it. I get it. When the corporations get too big, when the businesses get too big, and there's a limited number of them, and they have this influence. You know, if you want to work for them, you have to have. You know, they can take advantage of people. I get it. But we have enough labor laws now in effect that it's really no use having a union anymore. Really. But unions are a big lobby. They raise a lot of money. It's another tax that we have to pay out of our check. And when we work somewhere where I work, there's a union. I have to pay union dues. That money somehow finds its way back to the coffers of the Democrat Party. They always endorse a candidate. Why? It's your. What is it? Why do you have the? Why is that part of your job? Why is that part of what I'm? What does that have to do with my collective bargaining? Well, you know, because we have to, you know, deal with legislation that affects your. No, just negotiate my contract. You could spend a whole lot more time negotiating my contract and getting a better contract. Or enforcing the rules that, you know, when the company breaks the rules and it takes 5 years to do a grievance. You can't get those days back that they took from you. They can't, you know, there's just all kinds of things they could be doing to make you know, life better, to hold the company to the standards that they're supposed to. That's all I ask. I'm not trying to screw the company over. I'm just trying to, just saying, hey, look at this. Just do the contract. Just at least, you know, be limited by the contract. You make me do what's in the contract, and you do what's in the contract. That's how that works. That's why we have a contract. It's an agreement. Don't break the agreement. So we have, and that's really what the union's there for. But the unions go, you know, they do this all this other stuff. So it's, now, why does a government worker need a union? The government should be the one place that has oversight, and it should be for the people, shouldn't it? They're pro-union. Just one more way of taking the funds out of them. So the United Postal Service union workers, they're now endorsing Kamala Harris. Well, guess what? They're directly involved in mail-in ballots. Do you see the conflict here? Hey, when we show up to take your ballot from your mailbox and we notice that you have a Trump flag in your yard, or even if you're just flying a U.S. flag, or a Don't Tread on Me flag in your yard, just anything like that, or we see a bumper sticker on your car. Oh, well, oh, look at that ballot. Oh, they're going to pull that ballot out of there. Whoopsie, whoopsie. That one went down the drain. I'm not sure what happened to that one. That's going in a special box. We don't know that this stuff's not going on. I guarantee you, because the ridiculous end justifies the means mentality of these people, I guarantee you some of them will do it. Not all of them. In Indiana, it's probably the other way around. But it's the nefarious stuff that happened. Now they're claiming, oh, both candidates are in danger because of all the rhetoric of Donald Trump. Both candidates are in danger. Yeah, there's been a lot of attempts on, how many people have tried to assassinate Barack Obama? How many gunshots have been fired at him? They're bringing that up too. They're talking about, oh, you know, Barack Obama, Kamala, you know, they're both in danger. It's a very dangerous time right now. Well, it seems like the only side shooting bullets right now. Now, they're talking about this guy and what his political backing. Now, you have to understand, I mean, some very interesting video of this guy now around his home. He's got a Biden-Harris bumper sticker on his car. He was supposedly voted for Trump in 2016, supposedly, this guy did. Now, he was a former Bernie, he was a disenfranchised Bernie supporter. My guess is he voted for Donald Trump out of spite. That's my guess. Supposedly registered Republican, all this stuff. I don't know. Did he really vote for Trump? I don't know. He's been to Ukraine. He went to Ukraine for a while because he felt so. And then he actually wrote letters to. Because he's so compassionate. He's such a compassionate man. That's why he was sitting there waiting to shoot someone in cold blood. You see where this guy's a perfect example, really, of the whole idea of someone being so morally righteous in his beliefs and so moved by passion. He's so passionate for the country and the nation. His morality is so farther above. And he's going to do the right thing. He's going to take Trump out because he cares about the country so much. Because his moral standards are so much higher than everybody else's. He's got to take this guy out to save the nation. He's going to be a hero. That's where these people are. They're unhinged, sick individuals. They're absolutely insane. They are deranged. There's no other word. There's nothing else to call it. It is a Trump derangement syndrome, and it is in full effect with some of these people. How did this guy know that Donald Trump was going to be out there? How did he get a gun? How did he sit there for 12 hours and nobody noticed the guy? A lot of questions. And what was his, what was his real motive here? I think we all know that. Well, they've got him on a gun charge. This guy will be out. I guarantee you this guy will be out of prison before the election or maybe, before Trump gets into office. All the stuff this guy has done, and you're telling me he wasn't on anybody's radar. The Babylon Bee recently had a funny little post. They said, the nation rests at ease when they find out that the FBI has the next 12 potential assassins on their radar. Or mass shooters. The next 12 mass shooters are on their radar, already on their radar. You know, every time something comes like this comes out, oh, there he was on our radar. He was on our radar. Okay, then why did he get away with shooting up a school? Why did he get away with shooting at the president? What's going on here? Well, I'm glad you had him on the radar. That was, you know, you're doing your job because that's what you are. You're the Federal Radar Investigation Bureau of Radar Tracking. I guess that'll be don't tell him. That'll be in the next. It'll be the FBR. Oh, I need to have an FBR, Federal Bureau of Radar. Whatever. Radiology. So we have all this weird stuff going on. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. So it's just all just my opinions because that's what the name of the show is. Because it's called The News According to Me. Except yesterday was The News According to our special guest. What do you say we call him about once a week just to get his opinion on something? Just, you know, random. I think that's going to be the plan. I'm going to call him once a week just to wake him up, make sure he's awake. So, folks, I don't know what else to tell you. Tomorrow morning, very possible there's going to be a show from the boat, probably. It's not the showboat. Just a show from the boat, probably. The rest of this week is probably going to be kind of limited. Next week, however, it'll be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Every day next week, probably we'll have a show. And first part of October is going to be a lot of shows. I'm going to try to change up the format just a little bit in October because of some things going on. It is Tuesday, and tomorrow will be Wednesday. I'm not sure how the show will go tomorrow. If I do have a show, it'll be very early in the morning, and I will be out the door later in the morning. However, it's very possible I might have to leave around 4 a.m. So if I do that, I'll be on the boat. We'll just go from there. Folks, thanks for listening. Pray for our nation. God bless. Have a great rest of your week.